Let's remain standing as I read from Luke 15, 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. Just pause for a moment and imagine that scene. Remember, this is who was drawn to Jesus. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. In 7 minutes, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. And it will be amazing that we're singing it in 7 minutes. But there's 3 things I want to say. And this just is the beginning as we move into the Advent season. This whole fall semester, we've been talking about the word of God. And we've talked about Holy Scriptures. But we have not neglected to remind you each week that it's Jesus who is the Word. And so the Advent series is titled, The First Word, capital W, of Christmas. And each Sunday during Advent, we will be unpacking John chapter 1. But today we come to this place. The Word welcomes sinners. And I want you to take this very familiar text, and then this week, I want you to simply reflect upon the 3 things I'm about to say over and over and over again. They're very simple. But they are the statements that change the course of history. Because these 3 statements are the statements of the history of redemption. And here they are. Something of great value was lost. Write that down in your mind, on your heart, in your bulletin, wherever. Something of great value was lost. Secondly, that which was lost required an all-out search. That which was lost required an all-out search. Third, when it was found, there was rejoicing. There was a celebration. If you are a Christian, whether it is a relationship with Jesus that has lasted 60 or more years, or one that is just a couple of years old, as we witnessed this morning, these 3 things are true of you. You were lost. Because of God's love for you, the all-out search took place. In sending Jesus to die for you, and Jesus leaving the Holy Spirit, that one day you might be able to say to the interior of who you are, "I'm lost." As Unze said, "My life is empty. I have no foundation." That's God's revelation in your life. It's grace. It's a gift. It's part of the search. And when you came to faith, and you begin to learn more about your faith, you rejoice because you know that you've been saved. Everyone who's a parent has experienced at one time or another a moment when you did not know where your child was. It could have been in a department store, might have been at an amusement park, might have been in your own home. And that panic that moves into you creates such an incredible reaction. Sometimes it starts a little bit slow. You don't want to create a scene. You might yell, Caden, Kara, Maddie. But when there's no response and the time begins to move on and you realize you really might have lost your child, you don't really care anymore about looking hysterical. You don't care anymore about what people think. In fact, you want them to know you've lost your child because you want them to join in, because something of great value has been lost. And that which is lost is requiring an all-out search, and you did that search, you participated in that search. And when that child is found, there's a part of you that wants to scold, and that will come. But that's not your first reaction, because you knew that it was possible that they might be lost forever. And so you held them and you embraced them. And guess what? You don't love them perfectly. But God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit loves His children perfectly. So perfectly that He knew, God Almighty knew, there's only one way to save these people that I love. And Jesus went to this place, the Word incarnate, to live a life and to die a death that we might know of the perfect love of God. And it is amazing. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? If you don't know that love, today may be the day in which you say, as Unze said at Kubi's over breakfast, I need to pray for salvation. And that prayer is very simple. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Save me. Come into my life. However you want to pray it, as you acknowledge you're a sinner in need of the one true Savior, Jesus Christ. And you can pray it right now. You can pray it while we sing Amazing Grace. You can come and talk to me and pray with me or somebody you came with today. But that's how one confesses that they believe in Jesus. And that's what it means to understand His grace and become a Christian. Before we stand and sing, God is the only one who can save. And He ordains the means by which He saves people. And the ordinary means by which God saves people is His Holy Word and the Holy Spirit and His people. God has put you and He has put me in places where people do not know that something of great value has been lost. That which was lost has required an all-out search. And when that which is lost is found, there's a celebration. That's why you appropriately clapped when you heard Unze's testimony. He's saved from hell. He has eternity to look forward to. And you, in your places of work, Tim, on You're blogging with people in prison and other places. Brother, you can connect to people I'll never be able to connect to. Stephen, as you go all over the world playing, you're going to connect to people I'll never connect to. Marvin, you're going to see people today that I'll never see. Your neighbors, your children, family, friends, maybe even enemies. And God gives us the privilege of being used by Him as John Bateman was used in Unze's life to bring them to saving faith. Is that not unbelievable? Is that not amazing? June 23rd, 1982, it was Tom Miller in my life. Who was it in yours? Maybe your mommy. Maybe your daddy. Dick Stillett was a Sunday school teacher in Pennsylvania, wasn't it? What an amazing thing that he lets us be a part of that. Clay Smith was pretty awesome in Cuba, wasn't it? Brothers and sisters, it's our call. Not to just sit on this, but to believe it so deeply that we cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. That's why sometimes when I say it's going to be 7 minutes to Amazing Grace, it's just a little bit longer.